in. Zol came at her again, efficient, relentless, cold. Their blades clashed and clashed again. Serenity would wrap up the fear that hampered her, but it would also keep away the anger that she needed. Nona had to have her heart in the battle, or it wasn't a battle at all, just some game. What she required was the right balance. Nona swung at Zol's side. The Ice Triber stepped inside the blow, trapping Nona's wrist against her ribs and laying her own blade along the thick collar around Nona's neck.
Break! Talo raised her hand. Work through the standard thrust and parry routines, and think on my instructions, novice. They don't call me Mistress Blade for nothing.
After the lesson, there was time for half an hour at Blade Path before hitting the bathhouse. Nona changed into the lightest of her combat habits and joined the other mystic novices who had chosen to practice. She found that most of the class were there, half on the platform high above the net, half below staring up at the show. Even Darla, who Nona almost never saw in the chamber, had turned up. Joelle, too, at the doorway down below, watching with her three closest cronies. The blonde girl, Misha, stood at her side, and before them the Hunska half-bloods, Ilani and Krosi, solid and sly, so similar they might be twins. A novice from Holy Class joined them, one Nona often saw walking with Joelle. Nona found a spot on the platform's edge beside Zol and sat dangling her legs over the drop.
Now you're in Mystic, you'll get to go on the ice ranging. Zol grunted. You notice how they put us up a class on the same day?
Nona watched Alata on the blade path. She moved well, and had covered half the distance.
That's Wheel's doing. She wants Agatha and Shield together. She has been sitting on my merit certificate until they were ready to let you up, Zol said.
Nona narrowed her gaze, and, as if her stare had become a weapon, Alata faltered, slipped, and fell with an oath.
It is your temper that held you where you were.
Zol continued, gazing into space.
I...
Nona bit off a sharp reply. It was true. Mostly true. Keote had returned with her from the corridor ranging. She had lost a shadow, lost two friends, and gained a devil. Nona supposed she had never been the mildest of novices, but with a devil beneath her skin she had turned wild. It had taken the best part of 2 years to get the upper hand, to slowly regain control and concentration, and even more slowly to regain the trust and respect of the sisters who taught her.
I wasn't holding you back, if that's what you think.
Zol shrugged. Everyone knew she'd been ready for Mystic Class for an age, but the Abbess didn't want her ice ranging. Abbess Glass didn't think Zol would come back. More importantly, Shirzal didn't want her to go. Her opinion counted in the matter. Despite very obviously being behind the theft of the convent shipheart, the Emperor's sister remained free, unpunished, and a power in the land. If anything, she had tightened her grip on the Inquisition since the theft. Another novice fell from the blade path. Nona didn't register which.
So why did they let you move up?
I do not know.
Zol hardly seemed to care. If Nona hadn't met Tarkax, she would have imagined everyone from the tribes to be carved from ice. Zol stood to take her turn on the blade path. Several of the novices raised a cheer as if they were pilgrims crowding on the rock, hoping to see a miracle. They at least looked embarrassed when Zol turned to stare at them. Nona watched Zol's progress without truly seeing. Zol was right that her temper had held her down. Keote might fan the flames, but the fire had been there before the devil came to warm himself in its midst.
Four devils had found Raymel Taxis while he waited to cross the path and enter death. They had made their home within his flesh. The focused will of academics and Thuran Taxis's pay had kept Raymel from joining the ancestor, and in time they had returned him to health, alive, but changed. But not even the power of the academy could drive a devil from a man's flesh if it found enough sin to anchor it. Before the Taxis giant died, Nona had thrust her knife into his back a score of times. Perhaps more. It had been a frenzy. Three of the four devils had returned to the hollow places from where devils watch eternity, but the fourth, spilling out with Raymel's blood, had slipped through some crack into Nona. At first, he had seemed only a scarlet stain on Nona's knife hand, one that refused to be washed away with the gore that had reached up past her elbows. But later, in the depths of the night, he had spoken to her. He had called himself Kiot, and claimed it had been neither the blood nor the rage that had let him get under her skin. Rather, it had been the pleasure Nona had taken in driving the knife home into her enemy. That had been the crack into which he had squeezed.
"You're up,"
a novice tapped Nona's shoulder. "What?" Nona shook away her thoughts and went to stand at the start of the blade path. Another girl reset the pendulum.
"Let's see you do your trick, then."
Joelle's voice from below, sounding for all the world as if she were in her father's halls and Nona was the entertainment, an acrobat hired to amuse. Nona ran onto the coal-swaying pipe. She never slid along it except late at night when she came to clear her mind. Greasing her feet left the blade path slippery and brought howls of protest from everyone but the handful of novices who had taken up her approach. Even so, whenever she took the path, she went quickly. On the twisting narrowness of the blade path pipe, she ran faster than a non-Hunska could sprint. The quickness of it gave the path beneath her feet too little time to sway or shift. In eight counts, she had run up the first twist of the spiral. When sliding, Nona took the inner path, letting her speed hold her to the metal as she turned momentarily upside down inside the spiral. Running, she took the outer path and jumped from the top of the first turn to the second, then to the third, breaking the rules. The leap from the last turn of the spiral to the next flattish section was a dangerous one, several yards risking injury if she missed and struck the pipe in passing.
"Cheat!"
Joelle's cry as Nona took off. Kiot twisted beneath her skin, scalding hot. Both feet hit the bar, but neither met it perfectly, and on the blade path one tiny error is multiplied with every step. Overcorrection built on overcorrection, and five paces later, Nona fell. No sound escaped her. The bounce of the net brought her to her feet, and a moment later she landed cat-footed among the watchers.
"So you cheated, and then you fell."
Joelle put herself between Nona and the doorway.
"Kill her."
Nona ignored Kiot, slipping between Joelle and the tall girl from Holy.
"At least cut an ear off."
Nona had her hand on the door before Joelle spoke again.
"Did you cheat when you murdered Raymel Taxis?"
Nona turned around.
"I can see it doesn't take thread work to pull your strings."
Joelle's smile was an ugly thing.
"Better. Make sure you scar her face."
"Raymel Taxis sought to kill me out in the wilds. I killed him first." "There were half a dozen of you, including Tarkak's ice spear. Raymel came alone."
Joelle managed to sound disgusted at the injustice of it.
"I heard she had some gerent helping her."
The girl from Holy Class wrinkled her nose at the thought of it, somehow ignoring the fact that Raymel stood close on 9 foot tall and had sent his soldiers in first.
"That girl," she snapped her fingers, trying to recall a name. "You know the one. The fat."
"Sorry." Oh. Darla rubbed her elbow where it had struck the Holy Class novice in the face. She peered down at her, sprawled on the floor, moaning.
"Didn't see you there."
Nona didn't try to hide her grin.
I killed Raymel Taxis. He was a murderer, and I doubt many worse men have drawn breath. If that damaged your family connections at court, or inconvenienced the Namsis in any way, I don't care.
She turned to go.
You'll have to work harder than that to provoke me, Joelly. Of course, the person who really pulled your strings was back here, while you were murdering your betters out in the corridor.
Nona found herself facing Joelly again without remembering turning around.
A pity she was killed in the cave-in while her conspirators escaped with the ship-heart,
Joelly said.
I would have liked to have seen the peasant bitch drowned for her crimes against this convent. What did they call her? Hopalong? That was... Hessa.
Nona found herself pinning Joelly to the floor, her hands scarlet around the girl's throat where Keot burned across her skin. Her name was Hessa.
Finish her. Tear her neck open.
Keot fought Nona as she struggled to draw her hand back. Shouts of alarm rang out all around her. Novices seized her shoulders, and still she couldn't withdraw her hand, though the trembling fingers, caught in a war between her and Keot, exerted no pressure. As Darla lifted her clear, Nona managed to force Keot into the shadows of her habit sleeve. Joelly's throat slipped undamaged from her grip. Just the faint, white impression of fingers left to record the event. The girl's eyes narrowed, and she started to choke, clutching at her neck. Darla carried Nona out through the door, and the wave of Joelly's concerned friends closed in around her. Their voices followed Nona, raised in such outrage that you might think Joelly lay disemboweled in a pool of her own gore. The last thing Nona saw through the ring of backs were Joelly's eyes seeking hers, a small but triumphant smile on her lips. Chapter 4.
I hear you've been making friends in your new class.
Ara sat herself down beside Nona, golden hair frothing around her shoulders.
How? Ruli told me. You know there's nothing happens at Sweet Mercy without Ruli knowing minutes later. I think it's a secret Marjal talent. You have your claws. Ruli has gossip magic.
Ara nodded at Ruli, crossing the novice cloister to join them.
I heard you put Joelly in the sanatorium.
Ruli sat heavily on Nona's other side, habit billowing around her, cheeks red with excitement.
I hardly touched her.
Nona frowned. Joelly had come to the Academia Tower with a shawl around her neck. In the corridor outside the lesson, she came up to Nona and held her gaze for a long moment, pale green eyes fixed upon Nona's black orbs without a flicker of fear.
Hessa's name is so important to you, and yet you've never even visited the spot where she died. If you really thought Yisht killed Hessa, wouldn't you want to find her murderer?
She turned away then, with just a hint of a smile, her words echoing in Nona's head. A minute later, Sister Rael had called the novices into the classroom. Inevitably, she spotted Joelly's neck scarf and asked about this departure from the novice uniform. Joelly had, in a croaking whisper, wholly absent in the corridor, related a lurid tale of being throttled. Sister Rael had sent her to the sanatorium to be checked over and had fixed Nona with a steely eye. Sister Rule had been huge, straining every seam of her habit. Her replacement, Rael, was a short, painfully thin woman whose habit flapped around her. Both nuns controlled their class with a very firm hand, but Rule's had at least been fair, and she had welcomed questions, valuing cleverness of any kind. Although she had endured just a handful of lessons so far, it seemed clear to Nona that Sister Rael most valued the ability to recite what the mistress said. She appeared to consider questions to be a form of stupidity, and contrary ideas tantamount to mutiny. Nona looked around at her friends on the cloister bench.
Really? I had a hand on Joelle's neck, but I held back. I didn't choke her.
The pause, just a beat of silence, reminded Nona that even friends needed a moment to swallow unlikely statements, true or not.
Rosie won't be taken in by a pretend croak, Ruli said. She'll send Joelle on her way soon enough.
But Joelle hadn't returned to class. She wasn't in the cloister either, and Joelle loved to hold court beneath the centre oak during breaks. Nona glanced at her friends. They had seen her rages. Back before she started to master Keote, and those hadn't been pretty scenes. Fortunately, Zol had suffered the worst of them, mostly out on the sands of Blade Hall, and had never complained. Probably because she usually won the fight. And even when Keote had his hook set deep into the meat of her emotions, Nona had never used her flaw blades or raised her hand against a novice not training for the Red.
So, senior novice,
Jula hailed. She bent over Nona's shoulder, lowering her voice.
Are you too grand to come below with us now?
She cropped her mousy hair short these days. It tickled Nona's ear.
Try to stop me, Nona grinned.
Jula had always been the most bookish and law-abiding of novices, but since her discovery, close by the Seren Way, of a hidden entrance into the caves, there had been no end to her enthusiasm for clandestine exploration. Darla came to join them, shouldering her way through the building crowd.
Oh, ancestor, that sister Rail will kill me with those lessons. I don't care which emperor annexed what territory.
You should, Ruli said. Your father's promotion is any day now, and generals are always annexing something.
Darla scowled, sitting heavily on the bench.
And I don't care which tax caused what revolt. The only good thing to happen in that lesson was Joelle leaving.
Seriously, though,
Ruli pushed aside the long, pale face of her hair and turned back to Nona.
Keep a lid on that temper. Sister Wheel would happily push you off the cliff and have Ara as shield. And what would you do out there in the world if the Abbess had to throw you out?
Ara nodded.
Joelle's travel. She's got half the mistresses on her side and a lot more friends inside the convent than you do. Then you have to think about how many friends she has outside. Just because they like her family's money rather than her doesn't stop them being dangerous. The Namsis are as well placed as my family. Plus, if you're discharged from the order, they'd happily murder you just to earn favour with the taxes.
Sometimes I think I'd like to go out there and let them try.
Nona,
Ruli looked shocked.
What? It's the only way I'm ever going to find Yisht. She's not going to come back here and let me kill her.
Nona scowled up at the grey sky, which was darkening by the moment. The cloister roofs opposite lay white, plastered by the ice wind. The centre oak's branches tossed randomly as the wind sought its direction. The corridor wind trying to reassert itself. The tree's leaves were wrapped so tightly against the cold that the branches seemed bare.
Joelle said bad things about Hesse. That's what got to me. That's how she is. Pulling strings, even if it's not threadwork,
Ara said.
She's even got on the poisoner's good side because she's so good at brewing up nastiness in a pot. So watch what you touch around her. And she poisons minds just as easily. The girl's got a tongue on her. It wasn't bad luck you fell foul of her straight off. She made it happen. Perhaps she even had it hot for Raymel Taxis. She wouldn't be the first Namsis matched to a Taxis.
Nona stared at the novices out on the gravelled yard, jaw clenched. Ara was right, and the truth of it burned her. She had been manipulated, moulded to the Namsis girl's desire. Her eyes found Zol, alone as usual, sitting with her back to the centre oak, knees drawn up. Joelle could never sway Zol. The Ice Triber gave out nothing for anyone to take a hold of. Since the bloodshed at the Devil's Spine all those years ago, Zol had perhaps spoken 100 words to Nona, most of them singular, and days apart.
"So, are we cave hunting tonight?"
Ruli asked.
"Don't you ever sleep?"
Darla was distinctly less keen than the rest of them when it came to exploring the tunnels riddling the Rock of Faith. Ruli stuck her tongue out.
"So, are we?"
"It's dangerous." Ara closed her fingers, signing that Ruli should lower her voice. Ara didn't just mean the chance of getting lost or injured. After the theft of the Shipheart, Abbess Glass had made clear that any novices exploring the convent's undercaves would find themselves stripped of the habit, too untrustworthy to marry the ancestor. And it seemed that all the rules were being more strictly enforced these days. Sister Wheel's determination to root out wrongdoing more zealous from one day to the next.
"It's the only exciting thing we do outside Blade Class,"
Ruli pouted. Jula had discovered the fissure hidden just past one of the many turns of the Seren Way, but it had been Ruli who convinced the novices that the caves it led to were just caves, not directly under the convent, and so not the convent's undercaves. On that basis, they had begun their explorations. Discovery would undoubtedly bring punishment, but wouldn't see them turned out into the world. Besides, they weren't going to be discovered. An uneasiness ran through Nona. Having no world outside Sweet Mercy to return to, she had always been the one of them with most to lose.
"Perhaps we shouldn't."
Across the cloister she saw a face at a window, above the galleried walkway. Joelle? Watching her? Smiling with the mouth that had sullied Hesse's name? Nona knew she wouldn't find any clues to Yesht's whereabouts on top of the rock, and Joelle had been right. Nona had failed her friend. For 3 long years Nona's struggles with mastering Kyot and the enormity of the challenge in finding justice for Hesse had kept her from action. Perhaps there really was something in the caves that might help. Perhaps they could find a passage to the convent under caves. She owed it to her friend to visit the place where she had died. Maybe Hesse had left some clue for Nona that might lead to her killer. Even at 12, Hesse had had few equals when it came to threadwork, and bathed in the power of the Shipheart, she might have accomplished miracles.
"Oh, hells, let's do it."
A raindrop hit the back of Nona's hand. A fat raindrop, close to freezing. A heartbeat later, a salvo scattered down around them. As one, the novices joined the rush for the shelter of the galleries, and behind them, the black sky opened, hurling down the rain as if each drop were intended to be fatal. By the time Nona looked again for the window where Joelle had been, the rain had drawn a curtain across it. Sister Pale found Nona with her friends as they huddled together watching the downpour.
"You're to appear before the convent table tonight, at 8th bell. That's Farah, not Bray."
She stood regarding Nona with mild distaste, her habit beaded with water.
"Why, what's she done?"
Gaina, small and dark, working her way out of a clump of red-class novices. Sister Pale kept her gaze on Nona. "The Abbess doesn't approve of novices trying to murder other novices." Chapter 5 Abbess Glass.
"Any other business before we invite the judge to make his petition?"
Abbess Glass looked up from her notes. Along both sides of the long table, nuns returned her gaze, all except Sister Kettle, still recording the minutes of the last item in the ledger of record. A chamber beneath the scriptorium held piles of such ledgers, filled with minutes, stacked to the ceiling in columns that marched off into the mildewed gloom. Enough minutes to constitute hours, weeks, decades, never to be read. But authority must leave a trail, or how else will it be held to account? And without checks, or at least the potential for them, authority, like any power, corrupts.
Other business?
Nona Gray.
Sister Rael laid a hand upon the table. It was, like the rest of her, little more than skin and bones, the long nails jagged at the ends.
Again?
Abbess Glass sighed and flexed her own hand. The burn scar across her palm had remained stiff despite all of Sister Rose's oils and unguents, allowing only limited movement. At times like these she let the echo of that old pain remind her that it had been Nona who saved her from the fire.
Again!
Sister Rael inclined her head. On the table her nails dug at the wood.
Really?
Abbess Glass had disliked Sister Rael within moments of her arrival from the Convent of Silent Devotion. But by that point, Sister Rule had already departed on her sabbatical, and nobody else could teach academia to all four classes. Besides, Rael had other qualifications Glass required, and one did not have to like one's pieces in order to play them.
Tell me.
She attacked and very nearly maimed Novice Joelle within hours of joining Mr. Class.
The bony hand on the table became a bony fist. The candle flames jumped as if Sister Rael had struck the wood and set the candlesticks shuddering.
I wonder that Sister Spire hasn't brought this to my attention.
Abbess Glass looked to the nun in question. Nona's new class mistress was another recent addition to the convent. A young holy sister returned from 3 years ministering to the sick on the far borders of Archon Anasta's sea.
Sister Spire didn't know anything about it.
Sister Spire raised an eyebrow and turned her gaze on Sister Rael.
The girl came to me in confidence.
Sister Rael made a sour pucker of her mouth. Rael's family were a very minor branch of the Namsus tree, and she had petitioned the abbess before on Novice Joelle's behalf. The abbess frowned, wondering what, almost maiming, the novice had entailed.
And what do you propose we do?
She could see her breath before her. White hands pulled her robes tighter. The cold never left the hall. The heating pipes lay freezing since the ship heart had been taken.
Do you have a punishment in mind, sister?
Reduce the girl to convent helper.
Sister Rael replied without hesitation.
That's what she deserves. At the very least, she must be returned to Grey Class and whipped before the ancestor's dome. I vote she be whipped and then reduced to helper.
Sister Wheel leaned forward, elbows on the table.
Or banished.
Perhaps we could hear some evidence first, sister, before moving to sentencing.
The abbess raised her hand to forestall Wheel's reply.
Did someone think to summon the girls?
She drank from the cup beside her, wishing the water were wine.
I saw them waiting in the corridor.
Sister Apple had arrived late and sat at the far end of the table. Abbess Glass gestured towards the door. The ice had been surging for 3 years straight. All the nations of the corridor squeezed tight against their borders, bursting for war, and here she sat arbitrating the disputes of children. Sister Apple's footsteps echoed in the bare hall. She spoke a word to the junior nun outside, and moments later Joelle Namsis limped in, one hand at her throat, blonde hair in disarray. Nona Gray stalked in behind her. She looked twice the size of the painfully thin stray the abbess had brought from Verity more than 5 years earlier. Her unnerving all-black eyes seemed to challenge each nun in turn. She stood as tall as several at the table now, still slim, but Abbess Glass knew the body beneath that habit was corded with muscle. The abbess frowned at the state of Nona's hair, a short and spiky shock, as consumingly black as her eyes. Efforts to tame it over the years had singularly failed. Abbess Glass nodded to Sister Spire.
If you could outline your grievance, Novice Joelle.
Joelle looked as if nothing but determination kept her upright, sagging around her unspecified injuries. She dragged her bad leg a step closer to the table and spoke in a cracked whisper, holding her neck.
I was watching the class at Blade Path. The new girl fell and seemed to think it was my fault. She beat me to the ground and tried to kill me.
Novice Nona? Sister Spire gave her an inquiring look.
I did knock her down. If I had tried to kill her, she would be dead.
Sister Spire frowned. She had blunt features, not unkindly arranged, marred by a burn that ran across her forehead and down the side of her face.
Novice Joelle, how did Novice Nona try to kill you?
She?
Joelle stifled a sob.
She strangled me. She said she would kill me. She said it before she even chose her bed. And then she wrapped her hands around my throat and...
Another sob.
They had to pull her off me.
Is this true, Novice Nona? Sister Spire asked.
It was one hand, and for a few seconds. But yes.
Nona furrowed her brow, looking furiously at the ground.
And how long would you say you were throttled for, Novice Joelle?
It could be minutes. I blacked out after a while.
Sister Wheel banged her fist to the table and the shadows danced.
Any period of time one novice spends strangling another is too long. What are we even discussing? Take her habit. She'll never be fit for her vows. Novice Arabella can take the ordeal of the shield and serve the Argatha in her place.
High above them the shutters rattled as the ice wind picked up strength. It always seemed to be an ice wind these days. Abbess Glass stared at the two novices. She knew Joelle to be manipulative and spiteful, unable to forget her family's privilege. On the other hand, she was a Quantal Prime, with rare skill at threadwork, and was an accomplished poisoner to boot. Nona, of course, was too precious to be lost to the church, a three-blood, fast as a devil, and with a temper to match. The Abbess would not lose sight of the girl, but Nona might just have made keeping her in the order impossible. If she had deliberately injured another novice, Nona had done about the only thing that could get Sister Rose to agree with Sister Wheel on something. Sister Rose spent too much time repairing bodies to forgive deliberate and unwarranted harm caused in anger. She wouldn't let a training blade be put in any hand that might seek the life of another novice. Together, both sister superiors could overrule the Abbess. Sister Spire frowned.
Have you anything to say in your defense, Novice Nona?
I didn't try to kill her. I barely squeezed her neck.
Joelle straightened, lowering the hand from beneath her chin and pulling down the collar of her habit. Along both sides of her throat, livid bruises told the story of fingers pressed deep, the black imprints surrounded by a halo of yellowing flesh. Sister Wheel drew in a sharp breath. Sister Rail thumped the table in outrage.
This is the work of someone who has no place within our order.
Abbess Glass felt the tide turn. She presided over a convent where a score of novices could do the miraculous, some moving faster than thought, some weaving shadows or fire, and some few walking the ancestors' path, returning from it echoing with the power of the divine. And yet, given a choice, she would never once consider exchanging for any of that the gift the ancestor had given to her. People were a magic and a mystery, no matter whether they were low-born or high, no matter whether it was soil or spells they turned their hands to, whether they were geniuses or fools. There were few who saw past faces, past status, past what people said to what they meant. Abbess Glass knew she didn't see far into the puzzle, but she saw further than most, and it gave her an edge. An edge so sharp that most of those she cut didn't even know it
until it was far too late. Right now, though, all her gift told her was that the room had shifted and Nona stood on the brink. Across the table from Sister Wheel, Sister Rose lowered her head, lips pressed tight, brow furrowed.
"Are there no witnesses?"
Sister Kettle asked, looking up from her recording. Surprise registered on several faces. Sister Kettle never spoke up at convent table. It wasn't her place to. Less than 10 years into her vows, she came to record, not to speak. But so soon returned from a long and arduous mission, she might be forgiven her lapse.
"There are many witnesses,"
Sister Rail brightened, showing narrow teeth in a narrow smile.
"Let me..."
"Joelle is a very popular novice."
Abbess Glass spoke over Mistress Academic.
"Many of the girls may be swayed by personal loyalties, turning suspicion into fact."
"Would you summon the accused friends instead?"
Sister Rail demanded.
"We need a witness who would satisfy all of us as impartial and true."
The abbess studied the grain of the table between her spread hands as if such a hope were impossible. Sister Wheel took the bait.
"The chosen one was there."
She looked up in triumph. Sisters Tallow and Apple suppressed long, suffering sighs.
"Let it be Novice Zole, then."
The abbess nodded to Kettle, who hurried to the door.
"At least nobody can accuse her of being friends with either party, or anyone else. Nona and Joelle can wait outside."
Kettle led the pair to the door and returned to the table, having sent for Zole. The shadows clung to the nun as she walked, like cobwebs. They mottled her face as if they were stains running across her skin. When Apple had brought Kettle back injured and changed, there hadn't been one person at the table who had thought the convent still held a place for her. Not now she walked in darkness, as the Noi Guin do. That had been a long debate, a long night and a longer morning. But at length, Glass had steered the sisters to the decision she wanted.
"You know there is no safe place for Nona if she were to leave this convent."
Sister Apple spoke to the table in general, her gaze avoiding Sister Wheel and Sister Spire.
"We've waited more than a generation for a three-blood novice, and now you want to send her out to our enemies because of a fight with a girl who's never forgotten she was born Sis. Joelle's two-part spite, one part privilege." "She is a member of our sisterhood."
Wheel glared across the table.
"And she was nearly killed whilst under the protection of the ancestor." "Attempted murder is punishable by the oven. She would be of no danger to us then."
Sister Rail spoke lightly, as if the matter were of little consequence.
"She would fall into nobody else's hands."
"In sweet mercy we drown rather than cook," said the abbess without humour. "And we have managed to avoid capital punishment for several decades. I do not intend to start again today."
Raised voices in the corridor drew their eyes to the doorway. Abbess Glass prayed the novices weren't fighting again. The argument drew closer, and she relaxed, hearing a man's complaint. A brief knocking, and the heated debate outside continued.
"Come!"
Sister Pale burst in.
"He won't listen. I told him to stay."
She still looked like a child to Abbess Glass, just 2 years in the habit. It took an effort not to call her Novice Suleri. Behind her came Zole, ice-spattered and glowering at the world with impartial dislike. Behind Zole, a tall, white-haired man, encompassed by the thickest of velvet robes.
"Evone!"
Abbess Glass rose to greet the judge. The other nuns followed suit, Sister Rose struggling to rise, having sat too long and weighing 3 times what was healthy. A young man burdened under books of law hastened around the judge to introduce him.
"Judge Ervone Galamsis offers the Abbess of Sweet Mercy Convent his greetings and felicitations on this the 97th anniversary of Emperor Royan Anstis's victory over the Palathi insurrection. Ah, that! How could we forget?
Abbess Glass broadened her smile into the most genuine imitation at her disposal.
Evone, how nice to have the pleasure of your company again. It's been, what, 3 years?
Forgive the intrusion, dear Abbess.
Evone inclined his head towards a bow.
But on seeing the arrival of the young lady about whom I've come all this way to petition you, I felt I must be heard.
Abbess Glass considered having the judge escorted from the hall, perhaps even from the convent, but it would be an expensive pleasure. Better to hand over the small victory of a seat at the convent table in order to compensate the loss awaiting him. She gestured to a vacant chair, and the judge's assistant pulled it out for him.
"Stand at the end of the table, novice soul."
Abbess Glass indicated the spot before glancing towards Sister Pale.
"Bring Nona and Joelle back, sister."
Accused and accuser re-entered the hall a moment after the junior nun exited. Sister Apple craned her neck to watch Joelle with particular attention, her eyes narrow. Further along the table, Sister Pan coughed and muttered about the cold.
"Novice Zole, what can you tell us about this morning's incident at Blade Path?"
Abbess Glass favored the girl with a warm smile, knowing that it would not be returned.
"Novice Joelle accused Novice Hessa of helping Yish to steal the ship heart," Zole said. "Nona knocked her down."
"I would have wanted to knock her down myself," Abbess Glass said. "I would have."
Sister Tallow kept a flinty gaze on Joelle.
"No wanted about it."
"And then Nona strangled her,"
Sister Rale said. Zole shook her head.
"She held Joelle's neck. There was no strangling."
Sister Wheel harumphed in irritation, but couldn't bring herself to contradict the Chosen One. Beside her, Sister Rale looked daggers at Nona, then raised a hand towards Joelle.
"Of course she was strangled. You can see it."
"No." Zole shook her head again. "It did not happen."
"But the bruises," Sister Rale banged the table. "You think we're blind?"
"The evidence does seem compelling."
Ervone nodded, candlelight glinting on the gold circlet around his hair. Zole shrugged.
"This is nonsense," Rale looked around the table. "We should vote, and then the Abbess will decide."
Abbess Glass puffed out her cheeks. There were only two votes that mattered. The rest she could overrule. But if the convent's two sister superiors united against her, the matter would have to go to the Archons or the High Priest. Such public dissent would weaken her position, and Nona would likely be found guilty in any case.
"Let us vote, then."
"Guilty,"
Sister Rale folded her arms.
"Innocent,"
Sister Apple frowned, still watching the novices.
"I abstain,"
Sister Pan huddled within the range coat she never removed these days.
"Innocent," Sister Tallow said. "If Nona wanted the girl dead, she would have cut her head off."
As Mistress Spirit, Sister Wheel could vote first with the other mistresses, but as a Sister Superior, she could also vote last. She waved for the class nuns to vote.
"Guilty,"
Sister Oak, red class mistress, looked down.
"Guilty."
Sister Hearth had replaced Sister Flint as grey class mistress, and had witnessed the worst of Nona's rages while she struggled to control Keot. Sister Spire seemed unwilling to speak, but at last spoke in a small voice.
"Guilty."
"Innocent?"
Sister Fork of Holy Class smiled encouragingly at Nona.
"Sister Wheel?"
Abbess Glass inquired.
"Aye,"
the older nun goggled at her, jaw clenching and unclenching.
"I am sure the Chosen One has told us what she saw, but..."
The words seemed to hurt her.
She may not have seen everything, and this novice is guilty of many crimes. So I say guilty.
Sister Rose?
Sister Rose shifted her bulk unhappily in her chair.
I wish you'd come to me, Joelle. I have salves that would have helped your poor throat.
She looked at the abbess, brown eyes glistening.
I'm sorry, but I can't sanction this level of violence against fellow novices, especially in one so talented in battle. What will come next, I...
Joelle didn't come to you?
Abbess Glass asked. That didn't sound like Joelle Namsis at all. The girl would go to the sanatorium with a splinter and try to stay for a week, especially if she could lay the blame for the splinter at someone else's feet.
No,
Sister Rose shot the novice a sympathetic look.
That was unreasonable of me. She couldn't be expected to brave an ice wind in her condition, but if she'd sent word, I would have come. Sister Rale really should have told me. Why would you not seek Sister Rose's attention?
Sister Apple stood from her chair and advanced on Joelle.
I didn't want to bother.
You're bothering all of us now, Joelle. You bothered Mistress Academia before lunch, and yet you didn't present yourself to our own sweet Rosie to ease your suffering.
She stalked around the novice, peering at her neck.
Show me your hands.
Joelle instinctively hid them in the pockets of her habit. Apple reached out and took the closest one, pulling it towards her face, palm up.
Come.
She led the novice to the table, holding the hand towards the candles.
See?
I see four fingers and a thumb.
Judge Yvonne covered a yawn. Sister Apple ignored him.
This yellow staining here, do you see it?
Abbess Glass leaned forward. The girl's fingers were faintly yellow here and there, the colour of an old bruise almost faded from sight.
Woodwort and burned cotton. Careful preparation with an alkali base gives you Yulhan's ointment.
Sister Apple released Joelle's hand. Sister Rose scraped her chair back and came to see.
It has a role in the treatment of some chronic skin conditions, but you have to be pretty desperate to use it. The main side effect is severe bruising.
She stepped back and looked Joelle in the face. The novice bowed her head.
Oh, Joelle, you didn't.
She choked me.
Joelle spoke softly and without conviction, staring down at her hands.
I've a pill that will get the truth out of you soon enough.
Sister Apple turned to make for the door.
Stay.
The abbess raised her hand.
Potions and pills have no role at convent table. We have no evidence of their accuracy, nor church sanction to rely on such.
She ignored Apple's raised eyebrows. Sometimes the nun's enthusiasm for her own works overrode common sense. Such cards were not to be revealed or played over novices and before an audience like Yvonne Galamsis.
I will say, however, that it seems impossible that we condemn novice Nona to any harsh punishment on the basis of what we have seen and heard. Both of you girls are confined to convent this 7 day, and neither of you will eat lunch until the 7 day after that. If there is any more fighting between you, I shall be asking Sister Tallow to break out the wire willow. Now go, and count yourselves lucky. Run!
The novices hastened to the door.
Not you, Zol.
Zol turned as the other two vanished through the doorway. For a moment she seemed to be considering whether to obey. Then with a shrug, she closed the door and returned to the table.
So, to your business, Yvonne,
Abbess Glass said.
You came with a petition concerning novice Zol.
Indeed. Once more I come seeking the return of a novice.
He inclined his head full of gravitas, consulting the notes his assistant had set before him. It had always amused Glass quite how closely the judge resembled the statues and images the heretic Scythrol made of the ancestor, the mane of his white hair and blade of his nose making him seem wisdom incarnate
rather than the most corruptible of Verity's three High Court judges. Ervone cleared his throat.
Fortunately, on this occasion, the novice is to be returned to the bosom of her loving family, rather than to her appointment with the gallows.
And the loving family in question would be?
Our own esteemed royal family,
Ervone smiled.
Young Zol is to be returned to House Lancis itself, in the arms of her mother, the Honourable Shazal.
A low mutter ran the length of the table. Sister Wheel struggled to contain her outrage and failed.
The Argatha belongs to the church. She's not some royal toy.
The judge kept his eyes on Abbess Glass, ignoring Wheel's outburst.
The Emperor's sisters have standing invitations to visit the convent any time they like,
Abbess Glass said.
I would be delighted to discuss this matter in person with Shazal.
Ervone forced a smile and spread his hands.
I fear the Honourable Shazal is uncertain about the nature of her welcome after the wild slanders spread at court at the time of the convent's unfortunate loss.
Certainly she would be still more welcome if she came visiting with the Shipheart that was stolen from us. But we're hardly likely to take the Emperor's sister prisoner, or raise our hands against her, are we, Ervone? We are brides of the Ancestor, pledged to peace.
She gestured at the stern faces around the table. Sister Tallow in particular looked no more than a blink from killing someone. Ervone glanced around the seated nuns with a nervous frown.
That's as may be, Abbess. However, Shazal is within her rights to demand the return of her child.
Her ward,
Abbess Glass corrected.
Adopted child.
Adopted, in absentia. She was her ward when she arrived.
A recent development,
the judge acknowledged.
But entirely legal. Zol is Shazal's heir, trained in her palace for some years before being entrusted into your care, until such time
as I see fit to discharge her from her pledge of service.
Until such time as Shazal, Zol's parent and guardian, calls for her return.
Ervone turned to his assistant, who already had the uppermost of his books open at a ribbon-marked page.
Yes, yes. Abbess Glass waved the matter aside. Again, Ervone, you come to us with a matter properly covered by church law. Shazal should take any concern she may have to High Priest Nevis, and they will be dealt with through the correct ecclesiastical channels.
It's a bad time to be imposing church law over secular law, Abbess.
The judge shrugged within his robe.
One is not imposed over the other. Judge.
Abbess Glass reached for her water again, mouth dry. Ervone Galamsis might be greedy and lacking morals, but he wasn't stupid. After 3 years of narrowing, the corridor ran with rumors of fresh wars. When the ice advanced, something else had to give. Such times were poor ones to remind an emperor that some of the empire's most deadly resources were not his to control, but must be lent to his purpose through the goodwill of the church.
Each law has its own domain where it applies without challenge from the other.
Reaching for church law can get your fingers burned.
The judge let his eyes linger on Abbess Glass's right hand.
In any event, I have the idea that under church law, the issue of family rights versus convent authority over novices was somewhat vexed. Is that territory you really wish to wander into?
Was there anything else, Judge?
Judge Ervone sat back in his chair, impassive, save for a hard gleam in his eyes.
The Honourable Shazal was most insistent that Zol not go on the ice in any of the exercises your novices may undertake. I'm sure we can all agree on that. After all, none of us wish to lose the child.
The Abbess glanced at Zol, who had stood so impassive and immobile that it took an effort to remember she was there at all.
Shazal told us that Zol was the only survivor from the town of Yittis on the Empire's border with Scythrol.
Why would she be in any particular danger on the ice?
The judge narrowed his eyes.
She spent her early years on the ice, and unfortunately spent considerable time in the company of the criminal Yisht, who stole the Sweet Mercy Shipheart. It is possible she might wish to return to her parents' tribe on the ice, or to seek Yisht's tribe out of some misplaced affection for the fugitive.
He turned in his chair to face Zol.
I'm sure you'd like to swap your habit for something a bit more fashionable, and join Shirzal at her palace, wouldn't you? There's a grand party coming up. She has exciting plans and wants you to be part of them.
Zol regarded the judge without expression. There are many things here I have yet to learn.
But Shirzal has teachers for you, child. Saphira is waiting to resume your weapons training, and Shirzal can call upon instructors from the academy itself.
I will ask the abbess for guidance, Zol said.
And I will give it.
Glass hid her surprise and placed both hands flat upon the table.
Now, have you any more business to discuss, Ervone?
The judge shook his head in resignation.
This is a poor decision, Abbess.
Even so.
And with that push, Abbess Glass set a new game in play. One domino falling into the next. So many pieces to fall. So many chances to fail. No one but her understood the game yet, but that didn't mean she would win it. A thrill of fear ran through her. But the ice pressed in on both sides, and somewhere, high above them, the moon continued its fall. It was time to move. Chapter 6 Nona lay awake her second night in the Mystic Dormitory, thinking she would never sleep. Joelle had retired to her cluster of friends, and then to bed with nothing but hard looks thrown in Nona's direction. Even so, when the lamps were extinguished, Nona curled beneath her blankets, wondering if there and then in the darkness, the girl was picking at the jumble of her thoughts, seeking loose threads on which to pull. However long Nona tossed and turned before her dreams took her, it was not long enough to see Zol return. In the morning, the ice driver rose early and was leaving the room as Nona threw back her covers. Nona finally trapped her at breakfast, taking her seat next to Zol, who sat, head lowered, eating with her usual dedication, as if it were a chore to be accomplished as swiftly as possible. Nona picked up her fork, glancing at the heaped and steaming bowls lined along the middle of the table.
You didn't see me.
She kept her voice low, leaning towards Zol.
In Blade Path, you didn't see what happened.
No.
But you told the convent table that you did.
No.
But you said...
I told them you didn't strangle the girl.
But you didn't see.
Are you given to lying? Zol looked up from her porridge.
No.
The abbess says words are steps along a path. The important thing is to get where you're going. Zol shrugged and returned to her porridge. Nona hesitated, then spoke.
Is this because I saved your life when Raymel...
Zol swallowed. My life was only in danger because of your actions.
What? I say,
if you had killed Raymel Taxus at your first attempt, I would not have been lying poisoned in a cave. You should have cut his head off. Nona sat back. Zol hadn't spoken so many words in a row to her for years, perhaps ever. Over on the grey table, Ara and Ruli were laughing at Jula, who seemed to be demonstrating knife moves with a spoon. Nona grinned. It would be good when they joined her in Mystic. She'd feel safer sleeping in the same room as Joelle Namsis with Ara in the next bed.
You should hide him better.
Zol pushed her bowl back.
Sorry?
Nona turned from watching her friends.
You are careless. You lack control. I have seen him at your wrists when we fight, and at your neck when you are screaming.